Oh, Kira, congratulations. Look at her tiny fingers. She's beautiful, just like her mommy.
Oh, thank you.
Have you got a name yet?
Well, we're thinking
she's going to call her Brooklyn. Brooklyn, Massachusetts, Phoenix, Arizona.
Your vote is your voice. So if you don't speak up, someone else is deciding for you.
Baltimore, Kentucky, Murphy O'Neill.
Who is that?
Hospital porter. Just back from his American road trip.
Make sure you're registered to vote. Go to checktheregister.ie and be a voter so that it's your voice that's heard. From Am Comisiún Toghcháin, Ireland's Independent Electoral Commission.
Oh, Brookie Massachusetts, come to Auntie Hannah.
Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
You're listening to the best of the Indo Daily.
Today on the Indo Daily, the psychic swindler, the secret villa, and the newspaper investigation he didn't see coming. Tom Colton is a former accountant and property investor, but is better known by his nickname, the psychic swindler.
He's a medium and he's an accountant. What a great combination. Tom Colton, good morning.
As spiritualists, we would believe that when the physical body passes, the spirit body lives on and we can communicate with the spirit body.
This year, Colton and his wife Linda reached an agreement in the High Court that saw millions of euro in debt written off. But a twist the psychic didn't predict was an investigation by the Irish Independent.
I suppose key to process if you're looking to have millions of euros written off under a personal insolvency arrangement is honesty and full disclosure of your assets, income and liabilities. But then I discovered that the Coltons had secretly purchased a luxury villa in Lanzarote, which they'd never declared.
I'm Kevin Doyle, and today I'm joined by the Irish Independent's legal affairs editor, Shane Phelan, to tell us about how he uncovered a web of deceit and what happened afterwards. Shane Phelan, Tom Colton is an interesting character in lots of ways. What type of a medium did he claim to be?
Tom Colton is a very interesting character. He's a foreign property investor, a former accountant, a rugby referee, but he also claims to be a medium who can speak to the dead or communicate with the dead.
Have you ever been to a wedding where the guest list has included spirits of dead loved ones? Tom Colton of the Spiritualist Union of Ireland has just been granted a full licence to perform marriages, and he joins me on the line. Tom, good morning to you.
Part of his main business, which is providing spiritual wedding services. So if you want to have a wedding where your dear departed auntie can come along and enjoy the festivities, he's the man that can communicate with her at it and
bring her into the room.
Bring her into the room, yeah.
That is quite a talent.
Yeah, I'd be a little bit sceptical about it myself, but he certainly believes that there is a spirit world out there and that people can communicate with them.
My belief is there's no such thing as an evil spirit. You have troubled spirits like you have troubled people. My belief is that everybody is there to communicate. Some of them may be angry because maybe people are not listening to them, people aren't understanding them, why aren't you talking to me? They feel they're being ignored. And that's where you get the knocking and the banging and the noises and everything going on, because they want to let you know that they're around, that they're here to communicate.
He was, over the years and going back, he was a bit of a celebrity in this kind of world. He appeared on shows like Jerry Ryan on 2FM with Garrett O'Callaghan and others. So it's not any sort of a secret thing. This is an advertised business that me or you could go and seek out if we want to speak to a relative who has died.
Yes, he's written a book about it. He's gone on the road about it, given talks about it, and offers this service.
And Shane, what kind of a character is Tom Colton from what you know of him?
So he comes across as quite a confident character, always very well turned out, sharp suit. He also was heavily involved in Leinster rugby as a referee and an administrator. This involved taking charge of a lot of underage and lower level adult games in the Dublin area. And by all accounts, he was pretty indispensable. He was the guy that organised where the referees went. And there wasn't a game that he wouldn't referee himself. Sometimes there would be a shortage of referees, and Tom would always have put up his hand, according to people who know him.
And what about family?
Well, he's married, he's a number of children, and he's living in County Kildare.
But back in 2015, he ran into trouble that resulted in our colleagues in the Sunday World dubbing him the psychic swindler. How did he get that nickname?
Tom Colton, I suppose, the day job for most of his adult life was that of an accountant. He was a chartered accountant. And he had some clients, an elderly couple from County Cavan, who had to make a tax settlement. And they gave him a lot of money to make that tax settlement. And it later turned out that instead of passing all that money on to the revenue, he diverted 322,000 of it to an account in the United States for his own purposes. He ended up getting convicted of this in what a judge described as an extraordinary dishonest and fraudulent and coldly calculated act. It was only a couple of years later, actually, that the couple actually had found out, you know, what had happened, and eventually caught up with him. And this is how he got the nickname, the psychic swindler.
And did he serve time in jail for that?
He was sentenced to 4 years in prison, and the last 18 months of that were suspended. So he did spend a period of time in jail, and he was also restricted as a company director as a result of the crime of dishonesty.
Shane, I imagine being a medium is a niche market. You mentioned, obviously, his accountancy work, but he also got involved in property as a way of making money.
Yeah, and I think we can probably trace back a lot of his problems to his involvement in property. For example, the theft from the elderly couple, it happened about a month after he was involved in the launch of a major property development in on the Caribbean island of St. Lucia. It was meant to be a 600 million euro property development. And this was back in 2005. There was a very glitzy launch in Dublin, attended by St. Lucia's then Prime Minister Kenny Anthony and Damien Duff, the Irish soccer star, yeah, former international. Now, ultimately, Duff, ended up washing his hands of the project and didn't invest, but lots of other people did. There was around 30 other Irish investors who provided over 2 million euro in seed capital for this plan. It was going to be apartments, townhouses and hotels. And I suppose if people cast their minds back, Kevin, this is around the height of the property madness when people were buying apartments in Bulgaria and far-flung places. So this was not unusual at the time.
Yeah, it didn't stand out as a kind of a wild project. It wasn't the Springfield monorail, for example.
No, it wasn't. But like a lot of these projects, things turned sour. The company behind the project dissolved. The whole thing basically went south. Now, Colton was pursued about this afterwards.
What was his role in a chain?
He was basically a promoter in it. We're not entirely clear as to the extent of which his own money was involved in it. And he was pursued afterwards in relation to what, you know, by the media in relation to what happened to the money that was put forward. And he insisted that the investor had got their money back.
He was going out and trying to get investors, to get people to put cash on the table, mm-hmm. to invest in this these apartments and buildings,
yeah.
with the view to selling them or renting them or having some sort of a financial return. A lot of people would have probably invested for pension purposes or something.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. A little nest egg. About 30 Irish investors got involved at the time. About 2.3 million was put in.
And what was the fallout for Tom Colton when it all went, as did many of these projects, to be fair, during that Celtic Tiger era, when it didn't go the way that presumably he and all those investors had hoped?
So we're not entirely clear as to, you know, what the financial fallout for was him. But we do know from the case where he took the money from the elderly couple that he claimed to have been under enormous pressure in and around that time. He had claimed that certain creditors were demanding repayments of debts from him in a menacing way, and that he feared for the safety of his family.
So in February of this year, Shane, the psychic swindler is before the courts looking for a debt deal.
Tom Colton and his wife Linda had significant debts. Things had reached a stage where they basically were insolvent or claimed to be insolvent. Couldn't pay what was due. They both applied for personal insolvency arrangements, and these were approved by the High Court in February.
What type of money are we talking about?
So in Tom Colton's case, he had 2.7 million euro in debt written off. In his wife's case, it was around 2 million. And as part of the deal, they basically got to keep their family home. So they would have owed 680,000 euro on the family home. And the mortgage lender agreed to write off about 40,000 euro of this and give them a new mortgage term, 22 years, and a very attractive tracker rate to make things sustainable. So significant write-downs in their debt, a new mortgage, and hope for the future.
Now, people will hear that and go, wait, now, how do you get that much money written off to stay in your family home, to get your house remortgaged? Anyone who's ever had a credit union loan has felt the pressure of having to repay it, or a car loan. So how does that work?
Basically, I suppose, Kevin, this was a mechanism that was brought in after in the aftermath of the financial crash in the late noughties. There was fears of, there would be a repossession crisis, and a number of mechanisms were brought in where people could seek protection from their creditors to deal with their debts. And one of them was a PIA, a personal insolvency arrangement. And the main feature of this, I suppose, is that the aim was to keep people in their family homes. Look, it's all very well and good having people bankrupted and that sort of thing, but they lose their homes, they lose everything, and they've nowhere to live, and they're a burden on the state. So it's about safeguarding people's homes, but also it's seen as being for the better good of society.
You've covered this extensively in the Irish Independent. Give us some of the, come Tom Colton aside, but give us some of the kinds of people that you've come across in the courts who have done these kind of deals.
There's been over 6,000 of them since the law was introduced, over 900 last year. The cases that tend to catch the eye are the larger ones, are the ones involving more high-profile individuals. So I think the largest one I've come across was one involving 133 million euro in debt that was written off for former Irish rugby international Pat Whelan from Limerick. He got into financial difficulty. He was involved heavily in property investment. More recently, we would have had the case of Frank McNamara and Theresa Lowe, who would be very well known.
And from Newtown, Mount Kennedy, County Wicklow, it's the Larkins with team captain John, Olive, Mourette and Frank.
McNamara from his time as musical director of The Late Late Show, and Theresa Lowe, she's a barrister, but also would have been the host of a very popular quiz show a number of years ago.
Where in the world? Just before Glen Row on a Sunday night.
Exactly, yeah. They got a write-down which saw 1.7 million, million euro written off their mortgage balance of 2.2 million euros.
It was a very, very difficult time. But we were lucky that a solution could be found and was found. And if there's anybody listening now who are struggling with debt, do get help. People have killed themselves over things like this. It's hard, and there are solutions there. There always is a solution.
Frank McNamara has spoken, I suppose, of the stress of it and so on. And he's urged people, look, if you do get in trouble, go and talk to somebody. It's not the end of the world.
But on that chain, you keep talking about millions and big mortgages. Can somebody who's on a more standard, maybe a 200, 300, 400,000 mortgage and finds that they've got themselves into trouble, can they go and avail of this kind of a deal?
Yeah, they can certainly go and see and check it out. I interviewed the head of the Insolvency Service of Ireland, Michael McNaughton, recently. And a point he made was that, look, people read the newspapers and they see high profile cases. But he says that for every high profile case, there's 10 pretty ordinary mortgage holders who got in trouble through no fault of their own. And this offers them a solution and a way of returning them to solvency.
So back to Tom Colton then. In February, he gets one of these PIAs. It all seems wrapped up, like some of the cases you mentioned there, and put on a sustainable footing. And in essence, he should have been able to get on and stay in his family home and continue with his work. But in April, you started investigating the deal that he got and some other information that you learned about. Tell us about your investigation.
So basically, I started looking into Tom Colton's property assets. I discovered that there was a holiday villa in Lanzarote in the resort of Playa Blanca that he and his wife had bought in a purchase in their own names in September of last year. I cross-referenced this with basically what had been disclosed to the court, and there was no reference to it at all. All very curious. So I dug a little bit deeper, and the land registry records in Spain basically showed that this property had been purchased with a mortgage from a Spanish lender, a €178,000 mortgage in September last year, just 2 weeks before Tom Colton and his wife swore what are known as prescribed financial statements. Now, these are your assets, income, liabilities, all of that important financial information that has to be provided to creditors and to the court as part of the personal insolvency process.
And the deal is, just so we're clear, if you're going to get one of these, you have to put everything on the table. You have to tell the court of every penny you have and every bit of income and every liability you have. And from that, then a deal is agreed.
Honesty is the highest prerequisite. Under a PIA, all the assets that a debtor has have to be brought to bear. And this wasn't any kind of ordinary property investment either, Kevin. This is a 5-bedroom villa, private swimming pool, hot tub. You know, it's in a very, very, very much sought after area of a tourist resort. It's been rented out at the moment for about €2,400 a week as well. So significant returns would be expected on it. So after we published our story in April, the personal insolvency practitioner in the case, Eugene McDarby, who had been completely unaware of this property, he went to the High Court, and there's a mechanism under the Act where a personal insolvency practitioner, if they find that, look, they haven't been provided with full and frank information, they can go to the court and seek determination of personal insolvency arrangement.
I was going to say to you, as part of your investigation into this, I presume you had to go and put what you had discovered to Tom Colton.
That's correct. In response to queries from me, he basically said that he and his wife were not the beneficial owners of the property. And he claimed that they were holding it in trust. But he wouldn't tell me who the beneficiary was, wouldn't provide any trust documents or anything, you know, to substantiate what he was saying. So when the matter came to court, they filed affidavits. And essentially their story is, in a nutshell, that they were acting as trustees for a company called Grow August Sullis, that they weren't benefiting themselves from it. But when you delve a little deeper, you see that Grow August Sullis is basically the company through which the couple organised their wedding solemnizer business. Tom Colton's wife, Linda Colton, is the 100% shareholder in that company. He himself was listed as a director under his Irish name, quite interestingly, for a period of around 2 years. Coincidentally, a period when he was actually should have been restricted from being a company director.
As a result of his conviction.
As a result of his conviction.
The swindle of the older couple.
Yeah, as a result of that. And also quite clear from the affidavits that he was had a hands-on role in the business. The judge who heard the case, he basically looked at this. It was pretty clear to him that these were personal solvency arrangements that could not stay in place. Bringing it all back to, what do you need to do under the personal insolvency process? You need to be honest. You need to put all your cards on the table. And the judge said they did not put their cards on the table.
So what happens for the Coltons now? If the PIA has been removed from them, what happens?
Well, they're back at square one. The write-offs they got, and we remind listeners that these were significant, $2.7 million in the case of Tom Colton, $2 million in the case of his wife, Linda Colton, they no longer apply. So they're on the hook for those debts now. They could potentially face bankruptcy.
And do we know, are they still renting out the home in Spain? Are they still running the wedding business?
As of today, the property in Spain, it's available for rent online. Their business, I'm not aware as to the strength or otherwise of the weddings business, but I don't have any information to suggest that it's not running as well.
And you've reported as well, Shane, that the Gardaí are now getting involved.
Yes, so this is another element to it. Gardaí from the Corporate Enforcement Agency, they've initiated an investigation, and this is on foot of information that emerged in the High Court that Tom Colton was listed as a company director while restricted from doing so. So, and it's an offence to act as a director while restricted. A person found guilty of acting as a director while restricted can face a fine of up to €5,000 and a prison term of up to 6 months. There is some explanation from Tom Colton about this. There was correspondence exhibited in the High Court in which he claims that he didn't know about his restriction and that he immediately contacted his solicitor and resigned once he became aware of this. But that was, I suppose, almost two years of a period where he was listed as being a director and quite possibly shouldn't have been.
Well, Shane, we shall watch and see what happens with that story, but it's clear that your investigation has certainly sparked something and set a precedent in the courts. Thank you for joining us today. My thanks to Shane Phelan for joining me today. I'm Kevin Doyle, and today's episode was produced by Mary Carroll, researched by Tabitha Monaghan, recorded by Gavin Hennessy, with sound design by John Smith. Archive clips were from 4FM, RTE 2FM, Spin 103.8, and BBC Radio Ulster. If you enjoy the Indo Daily, don't forget to like, follow, and leave us a review.